This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
The technical term would be, it is fard or mustahab for you?
Fard or mustahab?
I'm asking you.
Okay. It would be... what is it exactly that is fard? Establishing an imam in different areas is, of course, a fard. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man mata wa laysa fi unuqihi bay'a mata mitatan jahiliyya." Whoever dies without having pledged an allegiance to an imam, he will die in a state of jahiliyya, which means that you should not basically be promoting anarchy or rebelling against the legitimate authority, or Muslims should not ignore the importance of order, and hierarchy, political hierarchy. Now, is it a must to have a singular global leadership for Muslims? I think that it is a fard to work towards unity and to actualize of that unity, whatever it is that can be actualized, given the socio-political realities of the different times. Let me be clear with you here. I would not have any faith crisis if we never had a khilafah until the Day of Judgment. It would not cause me any faith crisis. It would not cause me any discomfort about my faith. There is a particular hadith that people quote often. I grew up quoting this hadith. I grew up believing in this wholeheartedly. The known hadith is reported by Ahmad from Nu'man ibn Bashir, in which Hudhayfa conveyed from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, "Takunu fikum an-nubuwwah ma sha'a Allahu an takun thumma yarfa'uhu Allahu ilayhi thumma takunu fikum khilafa 'ala manhaj an-nubuwwah ma sha'a Allahu an takun thumma yarfa'uhu Allahu ilayhi." And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that you will have the prophethood among you for as long as Allah wills, and Allah will then raise it or remove it when he wills, and then there will be a khilafah on the prophetic method for as long as Allah wills, and then Allah will raise it when he wills, and then there will be kingship, a reign of oppressive kingship for as long as Allah wills, and Allah will raise it, and then there will be a reign of compulsive kingship, mulk al-adud or al-ad, and then al-mulk al-jabri. And then there will be khilafah ala minhaj al-nubuwa. Then there will be a khilafah on the prophetic method. On the prophetic method. We were certain, and that is basically the problem of lack of knowledge. We were certain that this meant that we are waiting for a khilafah on the prophetic method. Growing up, I was like, when I was 17, I had given my first Jum'ah when I was 17, and it was about Al-Hakimiyya.
That was your first Jum'ah.
Yes, definitely. like overconfidence that I have regretted afterwards. But anyway, so I was certain that we were expecting this. And it would have caused me faith crisis then to have been told that no, this may never materialize. You know, a singular global leadership, political leadership for all Muslims may never materialize. Because this hadith meant to me, and other end times hadith or traditions meant to me, that this is what we're waiting for. And we were also certain that al-Mahdi would not be the first Khalifa. Sometimes we thought that it may be, sometimes we thought... Then we came to learn that no, it's likely not going. He's not going to be the first Khalifa, and our understanding of the end of times traditions also was pretty strict, and to a great deal literalist. And I am a scripturalist, you know. So some people that would be unkind to me would say literalist, but I believe I'm a scripturalist. So I don't belittle the importance of those reports, but I have like a little bit more flexible understanding of them. That is not saying metaphorical, but I am someone who subscribes to contextual language theory. And I have a little bit more flexible understanding of those reports. Now, this particular hadith, this is how I would look at this particular hadith that would be basically presented to Muslim youth to tell them that you must believe in this as you believe in, you know, Allah being stawa ala al-arsh, for instance, above his throne, or you must believe in this as you believe in the day of judgment being true, you know, and in the angels and all of that stuff. I don't believe so anymore for several reasons. One of them, to begin with, being a scripturalist, I believe in what Imam Shatibi, rahimahullah, said, that rutbat as-sunnah at-ta'akhkhur 'an al-kitab fi al-i'tibar, which means that the rank of the sunnah is subsequent to the Qur'an, is not equal to the Qur'an, it's subsequent to the Qur'an in consideration. لأن السنة مظنونة قطع مع القرآن. Sunnah is speculative, mostly speculative, and certainty is with the Qur'an, not the sunnah.
And this is qawlu jumhur, it's nothing, it's not just Shatibi, this is the default of the usuli.
Yes, this is... But certainty is not with the sunnah. Shatibi himself says that certainty applies to the sunnah, to the collective body of the sunnah, not individual ahadith. Mm. Not individual ahadith. So you may say that you belong to a Hanbali tradition, and I do. It does not mean at all that we don't have basically the concept of textual critique, or the concept of critiquing the matn of the ahadith, not only the isnad. So we recognize that the isnad needs to be critiqued, but the matn also needs to be critiqued. There is a particular book by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah called Al-Manar al-Munif al-Sahih al-Daif, which would translate to the lofty lighthouse concerning the authentic and the weak, in which he says that there is a report from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said, إذا عطس الرجل وهو في حديثه فهو دليل صدقه أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So when a man sneezes while in conversation, it's a sign on his truthfulness. So Imam al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, despite the fact that some have authenticated the chain of narration, the observable reality contradicts the hadith. The observable reality contradicts the hadith. Al-his yukathibu.
It's a very sensitive topic, Sheikh, and of course this quotation, it causes consternation amongst many who don't even know this is from our own usul. Many even Salafis or Ahlul Hadith, the notion of using aql and common sense to look at an isnad. And Ibn al-Qayyim mentions this for multiple examples, and this is not the only one. That when something is observably, patently false, right? Then if you find some solitary chain, that it, even if some people might think that the chain is authentic, observed reality is going to be more important than a dhanni chain, right? Mm-hmm. And this is something that, again, I also brought up a number of my lectures with regards to, especially eschatology, because this is another issue I wanted to mention, and that is, it's understandable that, especially at a young age, we all went through that, eschatology and signs of the Day of Judgment, they occupy or preoccupy a type of obsession that actually perhaps even is not as useful as other sciences and disciplines. And all been through that phase here.
إِذْ أَوَى الْفِتْيَةُ إِلَى الْكَهْفِ فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا.